Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Untriven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Alan, Elaine and Hugh. On tonight's show we have Inkem, who originally comes from Malaysia. He came to Australia when he was 19 years old to study, and along with his two sisters and his parents, decided to make Melbourne their home. Inkem will talk about the different subjects he studied here in Australia and overseas. He will also talk about discovering he was gay and the gay scene in Melbourne and Sydney. Once again, we have a great show coming up on Orange Ribbon, so stay tuned for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Undriven on Joy 94.9. Tonight our guest is Inkem. Welcome, Inkem, to Undriven.
Thank you. Hi, how are you, Hugh?
Good. Now, Inkem, do you want to tell us where you come from?
I'm originally from Malaysia when I was 20.
Okay. Whereabouts in Malaysia do you come from?
West Malaysia is on the border of Singapore. It's called Johor Bahru.
Okay. JB, just across the causeway from Singapore.
Singapore, yeah. That's right, yes.
I've been across that causeway a few times.
Have you?
So how far is Singapore from where you came from?
Go back here about half an hour.
Okay.
Without traffic jam, I should say.
And the queues getting through customs.
It depends on the day, the time of the day.
Yes, if you're going through at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning when people are coming across the causeway to Singapore to work and vice versa, that's the worst time.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, a lot of people in Malaysia work in Singapore.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
Do Singaporeans go to Malaysia?
They usually go to Malaysia just for the purpose of the shopping because of the exchange rate.
Is it cheaper?
It's cheaper, yeah.
Because of the exchange rate.
And an interesting observation is that there's rules in Singapore that says that you have to have so much petrol in your car before you drive across the causeway, because petrol's much cheaper in Malaysia. And so what was happening is people were going across with an empty tank, filling up and coming back. So now they have a rule that you have to be 3/4 full or something.
How do they check? I mean, do they just stop the car and check the gauge?
I think they do random checks.
Okay. That's interesting.
They check on those Singaporean cars.
Yeah, it's on the Singaporean cars, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So is all the prices cheaper in Malaysia?
It's usually cheaper because, as I said before, it's an exchange rate. Mm. And Malaysian currency is lower, the exchange rate. So most Singaporeans come to Malaysia for shopping.
Okay.
Usually for the grocery.
And can tell us a little bit about your family.
My family? Okay.
Your mum and dad obviously come from Malaysia, yeah?
Yeah, they came from Malaysia. I came here in 1991 and then they came to Melbourne. A month later we came here.
Okay. And when your family came here, how many sisters and brothers do you have?
I have two elder sisters and one younger sister. So there are four of us in the family.
What about your schooling? What type of schooling did you go through in Malaysia?
I went to a private Chinese school in Malaysia, and I completed my year 11 in Malaysia.
Sorry, can you go back 1 second? You're Chinese Malay, did we say that at the beginning? I can't remember.
Malaysian Chinese.
Yes, so your main language is?
Main language is Chinese.
Chinese.
Well, officially speaking, the official language is Malay, Bahasa Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to know Bahasa Malaysia.
But at school, you mentioned to me something about Mandarin.
Yeah, we have to learn three languages, Mandarin, Bahasa Malaysia, and English at the same time, yeah. Mm.
So at school, what was the main language?
At school, the main language is Mandarin.
So because you went to a Chinese school, you said?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we communicate with Mandarin.
So how different is a Chinese school in Malaysia from a Malaysian school?
The Chinese school in Malaysia, we learn three languages. However, the Malaysian school, you only learn two languages, Bahasa Malaysia and English.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. And what about religion at school? Were you taught religion?
We aren't taught religion at school because it's not a religion. It's not a religious school which I went.
Okay.
Yeah.
What religion is your family?
We practice Buddhism since I was very young.
Right. Are you still an active Buddhist?
Yes, I'm still an active Buddhist, yes.
Mm. Yeah. Whereas Malaysia, how are Buddhists treated in Malaysia, because it's primarily a Muslim country? So is there any segregation at all or any antagonism at all?
No, there isn't any any difference between the Muslim and the Buddhist. We respect each other's religion.
Okay. What other religions do you have in Malaysia?
Hindu. Hindu, in other ways, the Indian.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. What would you say is the more prominent religion?
Muslim, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Muslim.
It's the northern states of Malaysia, isn't it? There are the Muslim states in Malaysia, is it?
Oh, Muslims all over in Malaysia.
Oh, okay. I thought primarily maybe the...
You have the altercations occurring up and on the Thai border and whatever. Mm. There's a lot of activism there.
Your father, you told me he had his own business in Malaysia. Yeah?
Yeah, my father had his own business before. However, he's decided to sell the business, as in the factory.
Right.
And
he was quite young when he did that, didn't he?
Well, he was 40 when he's retired.
That's young.
That's good.
That would be nice.
Time to retire.
When I get to 40, I want to retire.
I would too.
So he sold the business and obviously made enough money to retire. Is that the case? So,
well, I never asked about his financial situation. As long as I'm being provided with good food and accommodation.
So he made enough money to do that.
I don't know. I think so. I think he does.
So you came to Australia at what age? 19 or something, was it?
I came here when I was 20.
When 20.
Yes.
Why the move to Australia? What was the decision-making process involved in selecting Australia?
It's because we came to Australia to visit in 1990. And my parents love it here.
Had you any relatives here before that, or you were effectively the first part of the family?
Oh, I have two sisters who are studying here. My elder sister and my second sister. So we came here and visited, and my father and my mother love it here. My mother has been here several times, and my father never liked traveling. So my mother tried to persuade him to come to Melbourne and visit them. And my father decided to move over here for retirement, right? Lifestyle.
Mm. So you've been here since, when did you move here?
1991.
Oh, okay. So what's that, nearly 18 years?
Nearly 18 years. Mm.
My goodness.
Same year I came here.
Did you come here in 91 too?
Yeah. Yeah. I was 18 years on the 9th of January.
My goodness.
Wow. There you go.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you. So would you say that, Inkin, that your upbringing in Malaysia, was it middle class?
I should say somewhere between middle, upper class, which I don't know how to classify between the classes.
Mm. Is it common in Malaysia to have servants?
Then, yeah.
And you would have had servants in your household?
Yeah, it is very common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They come from where? Indonesia mainly, do they, or from various countries?
We used to have two servants. One is a long-term, another one is a part-time. The part-time is a Malay woman, and the long-term was a Chinese woman.
And in general, I mean, we hear all sorts of, if you like, horror stories, but admittedly, we first to accept that, yeah, that's always the extreme stories you hear of how servants get treated. But in general, what's your observation of how servants are treated in Malaysian households?
Well, those two servants who we had in the past, they're all being treated equally in the family. The full time she lives on board. The part time she only comes alternate day.
So, are they part of the family? Are they? Actually, do they become part of the family after a while? Or?
They do, yeah, yeah.
And take part in family in functions and birthdays and...
The one who is a full-time, she took part in functions and birthdays. Mm-hmm. The part-time, she didn't.
Yeah. Because she just came in, she didn't live in the house now?
No, the part-time, she doesn't live in the house.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Aline, Hugh and Alan. Our guest in the studio tonight is Nkem.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Aline, Alan and Hugh, and our guest tonight is Inkim. Now, Inkim, we were talking to you about when you moved to Australia. Let's carry on with that. When you moved to Australia, you said your older sister and your second older sister was already here.
Yeah, they were.
And then how long had they been here before you came?
My elder sister came here when she was 19.
So how long was that before you came here?
8 years before I came here. Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Well established in Australia then, before you arrived.
Okay. And then you said your parents came not long after you.
Yeah, they came here 1 month later after I came here.
Okay.
So are your sisters studying here? They came to Australia to study? Or?
Yeah, both my sisters, they came here for studies purposes. Mm-hmm.
But if she had already been here for 8 years, was it more than study? Was she then working then after that? Or did she come here for secondary college?
She came here to complete her degrees courses, and she continued to study because she didn't want to go back to Malaysia.
Oh, I see.
Stay a student forever. Yeah. So what did you do when you arrived here?
I came here to study, to complete my year 11 and year 12.
Had you already done that in Malaysia?
I did year 11 in Malaysia. However, when I came to Australia, they still wanted me to do my year 11. I have no choice.
How do they assess you?
They assess me via my results back in Malaysia, high school results, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So you had to do it all over again?
Yeah, to do year 11.
How did you feel having to do that?
It's fine by me. I've done it before. It's quite easy for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what followed after year 11 and year 12? What did you do then?
I went to RMIT.
To study
a degree course. It was in manufacturing technology.
Oh.
And I hate it. Because it wasn't
Was that to follow in your father's steps? Or?
No, it wasn't. It's actually, when I applied for university, you had to put on several preferences. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't my first preference. And they gave it to me. So I went to try it, and I dropped out after a semester.
Was this dress design?
No, it wasn't. It's about...
Was that another thing?
Yeah, it's a manufacturing technology, which I don't know what...
Why did you select it? I mean, I know you had choices, but if you weren't interested in it anyway, it was an odd choice then.
Because it has a lower cut-off score.
Oh, okay. Do I detect laziness here somewhere or something?
You also told me you did dress design, though, at one point.
Yeah, after I dropped out from RMIT, I went for a short course, which is a dressmaking.
Right.
Okay. Because my ambitions always want to be a fashion designer.
Right. And how did that go?
It went well. Yeah, it went well, and I really enjoyed it. So, because I learned the basic dressmaking, pattern making, drafting.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you dropped out of that eventually as well, didn't you?
No, I completed my dressmaking courses, and I went to Sydney for an interview as a fashion designing course in Sydney Technical College.
Okay.
And I...
So what was this for?
This is for the fashion designing. I learned fashion sketches. Fashion sketches.
What are fashion sketches?
Fashion sketches. In fashion designing field, there are two sketches. One is production sketches, and one is a fashion sketches. Fashion sketches is about the outline of the mannequin and the garments.
Okay.
Production sketches has no involvement in the human figure. It's just the details of the particular garments.
Right. So, did you enjoy that?
I did, yeah.
And did you finish that course?
I finished it a year later. However, I noticed that I couldn't see that as a career point of view.
Right. So there's no long-term involvement there?
No, there isn't. No.
Also, when you were in Sydney doing this is when you decided you were gay. Is that correct?
Yes, that was correct. I was only 23.
Okay.
So how did that evolve? I mean, did you know well before that time, or was it a sort of a flash of lightning type realization that you might be gay?
I wasn't quite sure. I was living in Malaysia about 50-50 about my sexuality. After I came to Australia and I went to Sydney and lived by myself, and I noticed that I'm 100%, you know, I'm in the scene, as in gay scene.
So were you involved in the gay scene in Malaysia at all? Or?
No, I wasn't. Malaysia was still quite conservative about being gay. Yeah. Yeah.
So to, even in Melbourne, you said you weren't involved at that time in the gay scene. It was only when you moved to Sydney.
Yeah, because I was by myself for a year and sometimes get lonely and go out to bar and have drinks and make friends and then decided, oh, okay, this is quite interesting. It's quite fun.
So you were in Sydney for 1 year.
Yeah.
And found the gay scene. Did you have any boyfriends there?
No, I didn't.
No?
No, I didn't have
just
any.
Just enjoyed it?
Just enjoyed myself, my life in Sydney.
Now, you said you did the fashion sketches.
Yeah.
But you said there was no full-time sort of end to that design. What did you do when you came back to Melbourne?
I came back to Melbourne. I had a break for a few months.
Because you had a break?
A break from what?
A break from, exactly. A break from studies. A break from studies, and I have a thought, and I want to go for hospitality.
Okay.
So I went to a college in Melbourne, and I did a 2 years course as in a diploma in hospitality.
Okay. We'll finish it there for a little while. This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Undriven.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your hosts tonight, Hugh, Alan and myself, Aline, and our guests from Malaysia, Ankim. Ankim, we were just talking about you coming back to Melbourne for a break from studying.
Yes.
And you took an 8 months break.
Yes, I did.
From studying.
Poor thing. He must have been exhausted.
I love the concept. So what did you do during this time?
Nothing.
That's a break, okay.
Doing nothing.
Did you go on the gay scene in Melbourne this time?
Did you party?
Well, occasionally, not always, because you could get tired of it if you go out too often to the gay scene.
But run me through your days. Like, you know, you're having an 8 months break, you're in Melbourne.
You get up, have breakfast, you watch TV, read a book. I mean, what was
watch
a typical
TV,
day?
Do his housework and go for a walk.
Who did you live with? Did you live by yourself?
I was living with my parents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you had some chores to do.
Yeah, I always like to occupy myself, so we'll make sure I wouldn't get bored.
So 8 months of doing nothing, you went on the gay scene. Did you have any boyfriends at this time? When did you have your first boyfriend?
My first boyfriend was back in 1997. I met him at a Christmas party.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was during this break that you were having? The 8 months.
Oh, was it another break?
That was after I come back from overseas after my studies.
Ah, okay, so we jumped ahead a little bit there.
Okay.
So after your 8 months break, what did you do?
I've decided to go for studies. My mother suggested, since I still don't want to work, would you like to go to Switzerland?
I wonder why she got that impression.
I don't know. She saw me always pottering around the house and do nothing. She said, why don't you go to Switzerland? I said, oh, okay. That's a good idea. Away from the house, away from...
Why Switzerland?
Because Switzerland has a good reputation in hospitality and termination.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I started to go look for information about schools in Switzerland. And I learned a short course for 10 weeks about French.
Oh.
Because in Switzerland, you can either pick a French or German speaking region.
Parlez-vous français? Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah, nicht so good.
Ein bisschen Deutsch.
So where did you end up going in Switzerland?
I ended up going to Lucerne, which is a German speaking region.
Okay.
Because I learned French, and French was very difficult.
And you found German easier?
German is much easier.
Isn't that strange? I know you're French speaking, Aline, but I must confess I know a little bit of both. And I actually studied French, and I actually find French much more easy than German. Germans have their words are too long and complicated.
Yeah, I think German is a funny one. German is probably difficult to learn, but once you master the grammar, you're okay. Whereas French.
So So did you have French? Did you speak French before you went to Switzerland?
I spoke a little bit of French.
A little bit.
Because I learned it. And when I went to Switzerland, I had to learn German.
German.
Because we have to speak German to the local.
And the guests and whatever.
So did you purposely pick Lucerne and because it was German?
Yes.
Because
yes.
you found French too difficult? So
exactly.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, and how did you find Switzerland in general?
It's great.
You
apart from being too quiet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Where did you say you were in Switzerland?
Lucerne.
Oh, with the little lake and the bridge across the lake and
yeah,
all
exactly.
that sort of thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely place.
So what was the gay scene like in Lucerne?
I wasn't in the gay scene at all because I don't know where the clubs and the pubs are.
There isn't going on out there.
All right.
Take it from a French.
So how long were you in? How long were you in Switzerland?
I was there for a year.
Right.
I was there for a year and I really had good time, mixed a lot of new friends from different countries.
Okay. No Did doubt. You ever think about after Switzerland going to another country in Europe or something? Or did you want to come back to Australia?
Well, I went for a tour in Europe before I came back.
Okay. And where did you tour to?
Oh, several countries.
But you had no desire to actually live in some other country. You ultimately saw yourself coming back to Australia.
Yeah, I wanted to come back to Australia, yeah. Because I find that living in Europe is too costly and it's too far from everywhere.
So how was that financed, your trip?
Because you hadn't worked up to now.
From my father.
Okay, so what was your father saying, you know, you're coming back to Melbourne to work, or...?
I came back to Melbourne.
Did he cut your trip short? You're coming back now,
no,
costing you too much money?
No, he didn't.
When you came back to Melbourne, did you do more studying or did you decide, I have to start working there?
That's it for my studies. That's enough for me.
Okay.
So after I come back from Switzerland, I started applying jobs in hotels because I'm hospitality background.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you start working in hospitality?
I started in end of 1997.
Right.
In a hospitality and food and beverage.
Okay.
And have you been doing that ever since? Or?
Pardon me?
Have you been doing this ever since? Since 1997, have you worked in hospitality?
Yeah. I was working in hospitality for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I hate it because it's either work day and night, shift work plus weekends. So I find that very little lifestyle remaining for myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back to this story. This is Joy 94.9. You're an on-driven.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon with Lean, Hugh and Alan. And our guest on the program is N. Kim. Now, boyfriends, we've touched on a few, but let's go back over the history. How many have you had since the gay boy came to the fore? Roughly how many have you had?
Well, my first boyfriend, I met him in 1997 at a Christmas party. We were together for a year. The reason I left him because we don't have much things in common. He's a very nice guy, however, he's too quiet.
What did he do? What did he work at?
He's a doctor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he was quiet.
He's quiet and he's totally non-seen. All he does every day was just sit in front of a computer and does his work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was boring for you?
It was boring because...
But it lasted a year.
It lasted a year because he was very nice to me. I couldn't find a reason, to leave him. And eventually I said, no, I have put up so much and I don't have much social life.
Okay. The second boyfriend you were with for 6 months, you told me.
Yeah, the second one was...
But you broke up 3 times.
How does that work?
We were together for 6 months. We broke up 3 times because he has a very hectic job and very pressurized. And at a stage, he had nervous breakdown.
Mm.
That's why the first time we broke up and really reconcile, we got back together, and then the third time he still wanted me to get back together. I said, no, that's too much, that's it.
Mm.
Well, we still keep in touch, just occasionally, just say hello, that's all. Yeah. Mm.
The The curious thing was, you said that he actually stayed over at your parents' house.
Yeah, he came to my place occasionally, and
but you've never told your parents you're gay.
This is an open secret in the family. In other words, that we know that
everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows. We don't talk about this particular topic.
Do you find that? I guess it probably is tied to the whole culture, your whole family, an ethnic culture. But even for that, do you find it rather unusual that you can't talk about it, or would you prefer not to talk about it, or do you feel as though you'd like to be able to talk to your parents about it?
I would prefer not to talk about it. However, I will prove it by my action. People who I go out with, so straight away they could tell, because parents always know their children, as I should say. And I believe that because they never see me go out with a girl, so obviously they know, oh, okay, they understand my sexuality.
But yeah. So is your boyfriend welcome in the house, in the sense that, you know, you can bring them home for dinner, or you can just invite them to family function and everything else, but you just don't talk about the fact that he's your boyfriend, but he's your friend? And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Second boyfriend, he always go out for dinner with my family, and once they celebrated his birthday. Yeah.
Okay.
My mother still asks me about him occasionally.
So that's number two.
Yeah, that's number two.
What followed? Have there been more after that? too many to mention.
There's a lot of people that Ann Kim knows intimately, but not well.
Well, I did meet other people after that, but they're not the right person for me, so I would rather not to get involved into any serious relationship or long-term relationship.
So you're not in one at the moment, is that what we're saying? Or you are?
That was after I left my second boyfriend.
Mm.
Yes. And I wasn't involved in any relationship.
So what is your ideal boyfriend? I mean, if you could tick a few boxes, what do you want?
What do I want? Well,
tall, dark, and handsome.
The basic criteria would be who is, you know, sincere, and then loyal, faithful. That's all. I never ask for more than that, because I believe that if I meet someone who is loyal to me and sincere, and things could go on well, because both trust each other.
Mm. What about if you found the ideal partner, children? Would you ever entertain the idea of having children?
I wouldn't have children, no, because it's too expensive.
To have children? Is that the only reason?
No, he's got to spend his father's money. He doesn't want to share it.
One thing Ankin did tell me, he likes to shop.
Oh, yeah.
He's a shopper.
His father would love that, then.
Let's talk about your career, because you did get a job in hospitality, but...
Yes, I did.
And you said, for 3 years you stayed?
Yeah, 3.5, yeah. About 3.5 years.
But then you decided nights and weekends were not for you. Well, working nights and weekends, that is. So, what did you do?
I resigned for a job, and I...
Took a break for 12 months.
Oh, I took a break for about... how long did I take a break for? 8 months, actually.
8 months again.
Another 8 months.
8 months break.
But I remember I left in April.
Oh, you did work for 3.5 years. You pure soul. So what did you do after the break?
Did nothing.
But after the break?
After the break, I started to look for business to buy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, business to buy in terms of business, which is only 5 days a week, have the weekend off,
mm-hmm. right?
Which is my idea.
In hospitality?
Hospitality, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I like to meet different people every day, talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't sit in the office and face the computer all day. That's not me.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did you end up buying in the end?
I bought a business in the suburban area.
A catering business.
A catering business.
Okay.
It's only work 5 days a week, have that weekend off.
That's good. So it's just like a cafe or something like that.
Yeah, it is a cafe, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
Oh, go on.
You go ahead, Dale.
No. Well, how did you find... did you have any business training before you started this? I mean, we've heard about dressmaking and hospitality and whatever, but in running your own business like this, there's obviously the finances you've got to look after and the profits and losses and assets and liabilities and all that sort of thing. Are you,
that's what you use your accountants for.
Well, you pay for the accountants as well, is it? Are you offering your services, Alicia?
No, I'm not that kind of accountant.
Well, I have my sister helps me with those because my sister is an accountant. And she does the book for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. So it makes things
And you
easier.
Already had the hospitality background, so
yes.
You understood the food and beverage part of it?
Yeah, I understand everything, but...
It's still difficult, as I suppose, when you start off.
Still difficult because I have to learn everything from scratch.
Hmm.
Now, you're involved in food preparation then. This business that you're running, do you get involved in preparing the food or do you have staff that does that?
Oh, I get involved myself plus my staff because we always need enough manpower to get everything done every day.
So had you been cooking before this time? I mean, in earlier days, were you a dab hand in the kitchen, so to speak?
Yeah, I learned commercial cookery before, so I learned about cooking, food handling, everything, food preparation.
What type of food do you actually prepare? Is it all Asian food or is it East meets West?
It's more like an East meets West.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just cater for different clientele.
Right.
Yeah. And are you enjoying it?
I do, very much, yeah, because I love food, and I love the presentation of food, mm-hmm. and I find that food preparation is very challenging and creative.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's just cover, your parents are Malaysian, as we said at the beginning, and so are you, obviously.
Yeah.
But your parents spent 50% of their time, you said, in Malaysia, and 50% of the time in Australia, so they must do a lot of travelling now.
The children from Melbourne and Malaysia at least 4 times a year.
Oh God!
And yeah. So, when they go back to Malaysia, what do?
They just spend time with my sister and their grandson.
Oh, okay, so it's family time.
Yeah, family
time. They're both retired, and they're not working, right?
No, they're not. Okay. Yeah, right. Both retired. Yeah.
And how often do you go back?
At least once a year, if I have the chance.
And do some shopping.
Some shopping in Asia, like Singapore, Hong Kong.
Okay, and for the listener, tell us, what's the best place to go shopping?
Well, at the moment, I found out Hong Kong is very good for shopping.
I can concur with that. I've spent 6 months in Hong Kong for the last 2 years.
You've just come back, actually.
I just come back 2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah. Did you buy a lot of things?
Well, spent a lot. I bought quite a lot of things for myself and for
the family.
For my boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lucky boyfriend.
So what did you? What about Hong Kong? You mentioned Hong Kong briefly. Mm-hmm. Whereabouts do you shop in Hong Kong?
I shop in Nathan Road.
Ah, okay. Mong Kok, from TST up, Tsim Sha Tsui.
Tsim Sha Tsui, Harbour City.
Harbour City, yeah.
Causeway
Bay. And what do they have in Hong Kong that we don't have in Melbourne?
The material, the design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so you're talking about clothes?
Obviously I talk about clothes.
On this trip, you spent some time in Vietnam. How would you say the shopping was there?
The shopping in Vietnam wasn't as good as in Hong Kong. And the first thing, because I don't speak the language and they don't understand English at all.
Okay.
So we went to Vietnam for the whole purpose of sightseeing, that's it.
So Hong Kong's a place.
Hong Kong's a place, okay. For sure.
Well, I'm afraid that's the end of the show. Another week gone. But thank you, Enkim, for coming in.
Thanks.
Being on Orange Ribbon.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And enjoy the chat.
Thank you.
That's on Driven for another week. Our special thanks to Enkim for his story. Coming up next on Joy is Simon and Paul with the Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us on Driven tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Nick on reception for his help tonight. From Arlene, Alan and myself, Hugh, good night.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.